Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Hello, everybody. Greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And welcome to Intimate Moments. Oh, yes, we are here every Fridays from 10 till 12. With me, Amanda Makabuka, dealing with marriage, we're talking marriage issues on Intimate Moments, Channel 882 on your DSTV. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you so much for joining us. It's going to be an amazing night with my guest here. It's not her first time. We thank God for connecting us. Do you get what I'm saying? God doesn't just do things for the sake of doing them. When he connects you with a person, there's a reason, there's a purpose behind it. So thank you so much for joining us. There's a lot we're going to discuss on our show tonight. Invite your friends, your family, your colleagues. Go to those WhatsApp groups and tell them, tune in to Intimate Moments on Channel 882 on your DSTV, or you stream live to www.radiopulpit.co. .za. If your friend is busy or you are busy, there's a lot you are doing from this time. You can always go to our website and check our podcasts and search the show that you want to listen to. We have those there. You can download it. If you are not able to write your notes now, always go back to it, man, and be like, okay, I've heard something like this. Let me go and listen again and try and do it on my marriage. You can never know, because everything we discuss here, we don't just say things. It's God. Trust me, it's God. And for you to be sitting where you are sitting, listening to Intimate Moments, it's God, because there's something he wants to do in your marriage. This is not just for fun or to make us feel good. This is a ministry, I tell you, because umchato ngokaThixo, and the devil is fighting in every corner. So you have to make sure that you are rooted in your God. Thank you so much. Let us quickly go to a break, a song. We're going to come back in just a minute and introduce my guest for tonight.
Tune in to God's Grace. RadioPulpit.co.za.
At Radio Pulpit, we are dedicated to delivering content that inspires and uplifts, guided by faith and truth. Our commitment is to provide quality programming for our community. We are here to serve with content that speaks to the heart, sharing messages of hope and love every day. If you believe we haven't followed the broadcasting code, you can contact the Broadcasting Complaints Commission of South Africa. Visit www.bccsa.co.za or call 011-326-3130 for more information. Thank you for listening to Radio Pulpit, your trusted voice in faith and community.
Oh, yes, you are listening to Intimate Moments with me, Amanda Makabuka. As I've said, I'm not alone tonight. I have my beautiful guest standing in front of me here. I'm Pastor T. How are you?
Well, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Please greet our listeners tonight on Intimate Moments.
We greet all the listeners tonight to Intimate Moments with Sister Amanda. And we trust in God for a very insightful time, man, and hopefully an impactful time for the next 2 hours.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. Tonight we have a topic.
Interesting one.
very, very interesting one. Yeah. Types of intimacies. Pastor T, many people think intimacy only refers to sex. In your view, what does true intimacy in a relationship really mean?
Sure. And I think this is just maybe one of those very significant shows that maybe we need, especially as Christians. You know, I feel like maybe when we get married, we we have a certain perspective of what intimacy is.
Yeah.
And all of us are told, no, you need to wait and before you get married, before you engage in intimacy. But I think there's a sort of a little bit of, you know, what you call it, blind spots in relation to what intimacy really is.
Mm-hmm.
In my view, it's my conviction that intimacy is when you can be naked before each other, unashamed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The Bible says in the book of Genesis 2, verse 25, it says, and the man and his wife were both naked and unashamed.
Yeah.
It means you've reached a point in your union or in your marriage where you can be transparent about anything.
Mm-hmm.
When I say transparent, I mean you can be open about your fears, you can be open about your anxieties, your joys, your dreams, mm-hmm. your aspirations. Anything that is deep-seated within you, you are able to unpack without any fear or reservation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is my understanding of intimacy. It means a safe environment has been created in the relationship for you to be yourself without editing. Also, intimacy for me means that should you be in a crisis, that is the first person that you think of.
Yeah.
Should you be happy, that's the first person you think of.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think of calling a friend before you call a spouse.
Yes.
So I think that intimacy means that you are both transparent to each other and are naked and unashamed.
Mm.
I'm able to come with you with my vulnerabilities, with my wounds, with my issues and flaws, and you are able to love me as I work through whatever I need to work through. So for me, that is intimacy in a nutshell.
Okay. So why do you think God designed intimacy to be in different layers, not just the physical?
You know, I think God understands us and understands our humanity, that obviously we are spirits with a soul and we live in a body.
Yeah.
And I think that it was relevant for him to create a system where where our needs could be met on all three levels.
Mm.
As we're going to go into the intimacies, you will see that they actually cater for all three levels, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I often say that sometimes as Christians, we like to spiritualize a lot of things. You know, when you want to build the sort of emotional intimacy of the marriage and you know, you're playing love songs and all of that. Some Christians don't believe in playing love songs. You know, they just believe that the house must just be saturated with worship right through and so forth. But there are things that we need to build on a soul level. And there are things we need to build on a spiritual level. And then obviously then with the physical intimacy and sexual intimacy, that's more on the physical level. So God understands us so much. That's why he also put the book of Songs of Solomon, you know, in the Bible, you know, to give us an idea that he created us to explore all avenues of the things that he has given us and not shy away. I feel like as Christians, sometimes we shy away from true intimacy because we perceive intimacy to be sexual only. So we don't connect on an emotional level. And also maybe on a spiritual level, we also don't connect. We just believe that it must just be sexual. So God knows us so well that he catered for all three because we are in the world and we are in the flesh as much as we receive instructions from the spirit, but also we are in the physical, and those needs also need to be met.
And all those three layers are very important.
Very important
because I've heard or I've seen partners who have a problem with the physical one, and they will go back and notice that, you know, man, the problem started with the spiritual one.
No, definitely.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes, definitely. There's a lot of confusion. That's why I think it's important as well that when we read the word, we read it holistically and not just choose your fire scriptures to go in fire shots or whatever the case is. I think when you go through scripture, you really realize that God had us in mind with everything that he created. You know, it's It's so ironic that maybe I should read a scripture to elaborate on what I'm saying. Mm. In the book of Ecclesiastes, where the Bible is zooming in on two being better than one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. The first point that it raises is that they will receive double for their labor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that could mean income, that could mean whatever you are doing as a, you know, as the two of mm-hmm. you, that you will receive double. Mm-hmm. Then it speaks about the other one being down and the other one lifting the other one up.
Mm-hmm.
Then it speaks about the one lying alone mm-hmm. and no one is there to keep him warm. That if there are two, at least the other one can mm-hmm. keep the other one warm. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I'm trying to say, throughout the Bible, you will pick up patterns,
mm-hmm.
you know, of how God designed the system. I mm. think sometimes we think God is far up there and not, you know, cognizant of where we are
yeah.
and our needs.
Yeah.
So sometimes we prioritize the other over the other.
Mm-hmm.
You find mm-hmm. that people mm-hmm. prioritize the sexual intimacy
True.
Over all else, and they have not invested on the emotional side, on the spiritual side.
Mm.
So there needs to be a balance of all these types of intimacies mm-hmm. for the flow
mm-hmm.
Within a marriage.
Wow. Mm. All right. Let us start with emotional intimacy.
yeah. What? Emotional
yes.
intimacy.
Yes. Why is do emotional intimacy described as the foundation of a strong marriage?
Emotional intimacy is very important. I think mm. last time we touched a little bit on mm. when we were talking about past pains and traumas,
mm-hmm.
we touched a little bit on it, but I'm going to elaborate on it
mm.
Right now. A lot of us have been on a very long journey before mm. marriage. Long journey not meaning multiple relationships, but it could be as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just
mm-hmm.
saying it's been a journey
yes.
on the family side or relationship side, whichever mm-hmm. way.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been a very long journey. And I'm finding that actually, the barrier, is the more I do coaching for marriage and families, the barrier that is there for couples to reach each other is more on the emotional side.
Okay.
Some people have been through so much in their lives that mm. even when they find somebody who cares for them,
mm.
they sort of put them on half clutch. And you know, when the car is on half clutch, it's very difficult to put the gear on.
Yeah.
Yeah, it refuses,
mm-hmm.
especially with the manuals. Because they are so cautious because their hearts have been broken
mm.
over and over again. And you find that some struggle with issues of abandonment,
mm-hmm.
issues of rejection.
Mm-hmm.
And so a relationship can you know, can suffocate right here, and then it affects the sexual intimacy, the
yeah.
spiritual intimacy, the financial intimacy,
mm-hmm.
also the, you know, the doing hobbies and things together
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
they don't feel at home with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So the
mm-hmm.
reason why emotional intimacy is seen as the foundation of all the other intimacies is because a lot hinges on it.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot hinges on it. For instance, I know that men might probably not like me saying this, but some men complain about their wives' libidos and their wives'
mm.
interest, maybe when it comes to sexual intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
But when you trace very well, you'll find that the wife has been struggling
mm.
With emotional intimacy with
mm.
the spouse because of the issues that are within the marriage.
Mm.
So if we don't nurture this side, the side of emotional intimacy, it spills over
mm.
to the other areas yeah. of our life. Because for a woman, mm. they need to feel emotionally connected for
mm.
them to be sexual.
Mm.
You
yes.
see?
Yes.
So their sexual experience is glued a lot to their emotions.
Mm.
And then you find that a man, whether they're feeling good or bad, in most cases, not
mm.
all the time,
mm.
they would still engage in
mm.
sexual intimacy.
Mm.
So there is a very huge gap, and I think it's something that we need to bridge through these type of talks to
mm.
say, if you don't take care of your bond emotionally in the marriage, it's going to affect how you decide your financial decisions
yeah.
is going to affect whether you spend time together
mm.
Doing hobbies or whatever. The recreational intimacy
mm-hmm.
can be affected
mm-hmm.
if you are not close, you don't have the emotional intimacy.
Mm.
And I think I did describe what intimacy is. So
mm-hmm.
emotional
mm-hmm.
intimacy will then referred to just emotional safety in a relationship. Can I trust you with my vulnerabilities? They will never be used against me. Can I trust you with my past mistakes and present mistakes? Can I trust you with the stuff that other people don't know about me, that you will know those things and still love me, that you will know the areas that I'm still developing in, and actually be a helping hand in helping me to overcome those things. Sometimes it's past pains, sometimes it's traumas. So once you feel emotionally attached or intimate with a person, it's easier to then, you know, facilitate the other types of intimacies. You know, it's easier to decide on finances, you know, without squabbles. It's easier to spend time with recreational intimacy. Spiritual intimacy, it's easier to pray together. Physical intimacy, then it flows easier to you know, to touch, to hug. Sexual intimacy, then it comes easier because there's already that foundation of just oneness and closeness emotionally.
Wow. So how can couples rebuild emotional intimacy after betrayal?
That's a big one for couples, because when we talk about betrayal, it's broad. We're not just talking about infidelity. It could be anything that has disrupted the trust within the marriage, you know. And maybe just to give you an example, I don't know, when we were young, we used to play with those, you know, we used to occasionally see the snails in the shell in Makaya, you know, in where we grew up. And so it was always a very interesting thing when we see one. But obviously we were kids, so we'd throw stones at it, throw stones at it, and we'd be fascinated by it crawling inside and taking its antennas and pulling itself inside, because on the underneath it's fragile, though the shell is hard, but underneath is very fragile. So the more we throw, the more it would hibernate inside, and obviously shame. Sometimes we'll torture it to its demise. But anyway, we were children, we didn't know better. But that's the best way I can describe how we are designed emotionally, especially in a marriage setup. People don't understand that. As Amanda, you can say something to me and it doesn't affect me, but my spouse can say the same thing to me and it will definitely affect me. So emotionally, we need to have an understanding that if the space is not safe, we crawl in to our shell. Whatever has not made the space safe, it might be infidelity, it might be oppression, you know. There are couples that are just very oppressive, you know, in nature. There are people that don't have emotional intelligence. They shout all the time. They're emotionally abusive. Christians even, you know. And those things can cause your spouse to come into the shell and hide there whilst you are there and not come out. So we need to understand that just because we are Christians, it doesn't mean that the natural laws don't affect us. The law of gravity affects us. If I'm going to climb up this roof and try and jump down, I'm going to break something. So once a person is inside that shell, they will not come out until they feel it is safe to do so. So don't expect a person after a very big event in a marriage to come out immediately. You need to give them time to come out emotionally and meet you, because they have something has hit their shell, and to protect themselves they have folded into that shell, and you cannot get a hold of them. So the most important thing firstly is accountability. I realize that these actions have hurt you so bad, and I'm willing to rectify this behavior. The reason why emotional intimacy is so difficult in marriages is because nobody is willing to take accountability to their contribution to the problem. I'm sorry, because of my ignorance, this is how I've treated you. I'm sorry, I've carried my traumas to this marriage. So because my mom was abusing my dad, I thought you were also going to abuse me. I have a distorted view of females. We need to be accountable for dysfunctional behavior in our marriages. If you don't become accountable, the person will not come out. They will not feel safe to come out, because you have not identified the problem. And because you have not identified the problem, it means when I come out of there, the same thing is going to affect me because you have no realization of how your actions have affected me. Then the second thing would be to apologize, and really, a real apology means changed behavior. So you don't apologize with your mouth and then you raise your voice at me the following week because now I've already communicated that that behavior is causing me to go into the shell. The third one will be vulnerability. To say that, sure, I'm realizing that there are areas of my life that need healing. And please be patient with me as I work through them, whether it's spiritual help or counseling or whatever it is. But please be patient with me. It makes me safe to come out and be part of the process and not be the receiver of your dysfunction, you see. So what happens is that now when it gets very heated or something has happened, people coil into their shells and nobody's willing to come out. And one has to allow the dust to settle before they come out and say, okay, what has really happened before they reach out to the other spouse? What has really happened? And for both sides to come out, there has to be an environment of peace, you see. So you can't come out in noise. When you come out, you need to come out with possible solutions. Don't come out to attack me, because if you come out to attack me, I'm going to go into my shell again. So in that particular case, it's accountability, it's a sincere apology, and which is followed by change behavior. Then it's vulnerability of saying that I acknowledge that I have flaws and I'm going to work on them.
All right.
That is a good way of starting to bridge the gap to connect again.
Oh, wow. There are a lot of intimacy layers that we're still going to go to. Let us quickly go to a break and then we'll get into another one.
Your daily spiritual nourishment. Radio Pulpit 657 AM. Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222. Or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you. Radio Pulpit's Facebook page makes you more a part of the station than ever before. Now you can give your opinion regarding our programs or even contact your favorite presenter. You can get the latest news and existing programs and communicate with other listeners. Come on, let your fingers do the talking on Radio Pulpit's Facebook page. It's interactive and dynamic. Just visit facebook.com/Radio Pulpit.
Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, a companion for those who need encouragement. Listen to us on our app or visit radiopulpit.co.za.
All right, you still tuned into Intimate Moments. I'm here with Pastor T discussing the types of intimacy. We were busy with the emotional intimacy. Pastor T, you were talking about rebuilding that emotional intimacy after the betrayal, the disappointments. What else can you add there before we go to the spiritual intimacy?
I think we can just add one last point. You know, when a relationship has gone through serious damage, there has to be effort put in reaffirming and validating. I'll tell you why that is important. Because when you, let's say, for example, when you got married, you didn't know where you were going. You followed words to where you are going. The words are the ones that made you leave your house, and not knowing what you're going to find there, not knowing what challenges you're going to face. So words is what convinced you to follow. And you affirmed your commitment through words. You see, I don't think we emphasize this a lot. But this is very important. You know, if a marriage has gone through something, it's very important to let the spouse know that I'm still here to stay.
Yeah.
That I'm still committed to this. Mm-hmm. That I still have your best interest at heart. Mm-hmm. And that you're still the best thing that's ever happened to me. Mm-hmm. We might have gone through a ditch, but you're still one of the best things that's ever happened to me. So people start to withhold affirmation and validation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a marriage has gone through something very horrific. Mm-hmm. Now you are withholding your words. Yeah. But, you know, it's your words that brought me here. Yes. Do you still want this? Are you still in for the long mm-hmm. haul? Are you still here mm-hmm. Till mm. death do us part? So when you come out of it, don't expect things to be automatic. Mm. Reaffirm your spouse, you know.
Yes.
I've made a mistake. I understand how it's affected our marriage. Mm. But I'm committed to this. I'm rolling up my sleeves to build again. Mm. And that type of affirmation and validation is what will slowly bring you back to the physical intimacy.
Mm.
And then obviously the sexual intimacy will flow better. And then obviously the recreational intimacy will flow better because then you're able to enjoy each other's company. Nobody wants to be in the company of somebody that they feel they're not in the same team with.
Yeah.
Or somebody that they feel is against them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Wow.
Yeah. That's the last point I wanted to add.
Okay. All right. Now we're moving on to spiritual intimacy. What does spiritual intimacy mean in a Christian family?
Well, in a Christian family, firstly, I think that the point of departure is shared values and beliefs. Because you find people that are Christians that believe in two different things, but they're in the same faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you find another one believes in fasting, another one doesn't believe in fasting.
Mm.
You get Christians that are like that. Like, why do I need to fast? Why do you, I mean, everything was done for me on the cross.
Mm.
Yeah. Why do I need to fight? You know, why do I need to, you know, to pray that much and strain myself when Christ said it is finished? You know, so it's important to have shared beliefs within a marriage and also shared vision. You know, Christ died for us so that as we live this life, we no longer live for ourselves. Sometimes you find spouses that are so preoccupied with self that they are missing out on the bigger vision that God had for them as a couple, as Christians. So there's spiritual intimacy that is lost when you are with somebody who, you know, who just thinks Christianity was for them, and so there's nothing bigger than so long as we pray to God with my little family and we go to church on Sunday, that is enough. You
yeah.
know? So I believe spiritual intimacy is also shared vision. You might have two different parts in terms of career or whatever that you're doing, but you all understand that you are in this to represent Christ. You are in this to expand the kingdom. You are in this to, you know, to show forth God's glory as a couple. So shared vision is one of the facets of spiritual intimacy. And then obviously praying together is one facet of spiritual intimacy. It's important as a couple to pray together. Because sometimes when you have resentment and all those things, it becomes difficult to pray together. So praying together enforces also that sense of peace and clean hearts against each other or in whatever commotion you might be going through in the marriage. It enforces a culture of unity and oneness, and you have to be in agreement on all levels. And then obviously it would also relate to praying for each other. There are some things that we can't fix as spouses. They are in God's hands. And if we neglect spiritual intimacy in the form of praying for each other, we will try to fix things that only God can fix.
Yeah.
And so that's why sometimes commotion comes in.
Okay.
And also praying for each other helps you to understand who you are married to. I don't know if I can elaborate on that a little bit if we have a bit of time. Joseph, remember, they became a complication in their little betrothal situation when Mary is now pregnant. So Joseph was meaning to just let go of her privately without embarrassing her. Until then, there's that encounter to unpack what it is that Mary is carrying. I always say that when you know what your spouse is carrying, it's it's easier for you to adjust yourself in the setup because you understand that you need to create an environment for that to thrive. You need to create an environment for that to be given birth to. Most of the time, where you find abusive behavior is when a person does not know what their spouse carries, who they are, and what they carry for their world. So spiritual intimacy means I'm with you here, but I have insight to who you are and your assignment, what you came to do. And I'm not perfect, but I'll try by all means not to be a hindrance to your primary assignment, to the reason you were dispatched. So the last point would be then spiritual intimacy. I've just maybe captioned it on this, is that you are in a position where you don't want to stand in each other's way or in each other's purpose. That is spiritual intimacy, where you are so cognizant of your spouse spiritually that you try to cultivate more than anything. You try to water what is there. If you can't water it, you at least create a conducive environment for it to thrive. So that's how I define spiritual intimacy.
Okay, all right. So how can couples work together spiritually when they are in different stages of faith?
In different stages of faith. That's it happens. It happens. It happens a lot amongst couples. You know, people measure growth in different ways. My take is that so long as a person is open to God and willing to grow, do not put pressure on that person.
Okay.
You take them by the hand, especially if you are the leader of the house, because you are the priest, you know, on behalf of your house, you know, that speaks to God. You know, so I suggest that if you are the priest of the house and you can see that your wife is way behind in terms of spiritual things, that you bring her on board, give her the materials that you read, spend time with the family, an hour or so in the evening, or 30 minutes even, just pour into them, read the word and pour into them. That cultivates a culture of whatever you are consuming, they are consuming. You see, you can't be on some quest alone and in your path the legs too far behind, because some of the things that maybe God will speak to you will be so deep that they will not be able to understand it if they are carnal. You know, because the things of God are deep, they are spiritually discerned. So you find that God is leading one partner this direction and the other one is now oppressing the other one. So always, if you find yourself, maybe we don't measure spirituality by gifting, that whether you're a prophet and whatnot. So now it means that your husband does not hear anything, because whether you're a prophetess, you hear from God. I've seen that type of behavior where women think they are the ultimate gift to the family, and then they are abusing the family with their gift, you see. I think it's always a relevant prayer to pray. To say, God, please open their eyes. Please open their eyes, you know. And may the eyes of their understanding be enlightened. Those are relevant prayers to pray. Where you are not on par, you give God the room to say, God, speak to my spouse. Unpack this. But over and above, in your study sessions or whatever you're reading, it could be a book or what, share with your spouse. So that they are getting the same knowledge that you are getting. And where they don't understand, they can ask you. Then you are both growing together, even though you're not on the same level. But you are both growing together spiritually, so that there isn't too much of a gap that will complicate, you know, some of the things that you want to achieve.
I've seen, Pastor T, what you're talking about now, but the problem is maybe with let's say husbands trying to force. They must not force.
I've also seen a husband like throw people into a deep end. You find that your wife is not a preacher now, because you are a preacher, you want her to preach. We all have our individual identity in God, and Spiritual growth does not mean the mic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Allow your spouse to find their area of function. Yes. You know, some people are more behind the scenes. They are counselors. They take care of people.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, they just have, you know, the gifts of just helping, the helping gifts. They just want to help. They just want to support families. So let's not measure growth, spiritual growth, by what is displayed in public.
Mm-hmm.
A person can have a very solid relationship with God and not appear anywhere on the posters, you know.
True.
They might have a very thriving prayer life which is not recorded on public platforms. So I think as well in the world of social media, that's where people are getting pressure. Okay, so-and-so's wife is a preacher, and my wife must also preach and all those things. So I think we need to lay off a bit and allow people to have their individual journeys with God and grow the way God intended, not with our pressure and expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so long as they have a solid relationship with God, God will keep on pouring into them and mature them in every way possible. So, yeah, the pressure should be laid off. Yeah, it should be laid off a bit. Life is, you know, there's more to life. We still need to function. It's not just about us.
And it can be vice versa, the wife of all sin.
Yeah, sometimes even the wife, you know, she's a prophetess of some sort. Now she feels, no, the husband.
Yeah.
I'm leading the husband. No, you're not leading. You just have a gift that is different from your husband. And that gift should not be used to break spiritual protocol as well, because he's the head. So you can't now be leading the family because you are the prophetess. It's not your place.
It's very sad what we're discussing on this, because there's a couple that I really looked up to. They've been married for years.
Sure, man.
But now the wife was raised by God, like in her gift.
Sure,
like,
man.
She's very powerful. She ended up undermining the husband to get what I mean. Even at home now, she was a leader.
Yeah, and now she's calling the shots.
Yeah, and the husband, like, had enough and was like,
This is it.
This is too much for
me. Yeah, this is it.
And it has been happening now.
Yeah. No, it's a very unhealthy thing that is happening, because you can be dynamic in that sense, but God has really put a simple structure. It's God, it's the husband, it's you, you see. So as much as the man is submitting to God, we are submitting to the husband.
Yeah,
whatever nature of a gift that you have. You know, I've seen it also happen quite a bit where now people are almost like loose cannons because they don't understand that there are things that God has put in place that cannot be tempered with, no matter how gifted you are or how much you think you hear from God or see God.
That's why, Pastor T, you will hear a lot of single men saying, I don't want a dynamic wife.
I've seen that on a lot on social media platforms. They have a particular thing against prophetesses, you know. So they say, no, if you text a prophecy, it is, then they say, what's the word? What's God saying this morning? And they just want to have a normal conversation. So, no shame. Our brothers are really in trouble. But if there's somebody that's listening to us, I mean, you know, this is a very sensitive issue.
Mm-hmm.
If there is somebody that is listening to us, you know, that level of gifting should not take away from your initial role. You know, there's the prophetess and then there's the wife. You know, we need to separate those roles. You still need to, as a wife, submit to your husband. You still need to, if you've got speaking engagements, if you're invited, check with him first.
And it's not always the spiritual part. You can be a director at work.
Exactly. It could be the corporates as well, that you have a powerful position at work. Now you can't separate your position from your position at home, you know, and your role at home, your position from your role at home. And people want to bring then the CEO tendencies to the house, and, you know, they want to dictate terms and so forth, and it just backfires on a high level.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Let us quickly go to a break, and then we're going to move over to another layer of intimacy.
Where hope and faith thrive. Radio Pulpit 657 AM.
Radio Pulpit understands that praying alone isn't always easy. So, join us to form a chain of prayer for you and with you. To do so, send in your prayer requests on 067-429-7564. That is 067-429-7564. Or alternatively, email us on prayer@radiopulpit.co.za. That is prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
In today's rush world, there is limited time for yourself. Your cell phone, however, is with you all the time. So why not use it? Visit our Radio Pulpit website with your cell phone and restore your soul. There you can find out more about Radio Pulpit, download the Bible to your cell phone, read Word for Today, and you can listen to us online. Just visit www.radiopulpit.co.za, especially developed for your cell phone. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. We are here 24 hours with a message of hope, faith and love on 657 AM.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.